Now receive these words taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Receive what the Spirit is saying. At this time, we invite our children in pre-kindergarten through fifth grade to join their servant leaders at the front of the sanctuary for children's worship. For accessible accommodation, please see one of the ushers in the back of the sanctuary.
And let the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. Pray with me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and shape us after thy will. While we're standing, yielded and still. Now, God, our ears are open and we're ready to hear what you have to say. So, Holy Spirit, speak. And as always, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. God, thank you for being my strength, for being my redeemer, and for still being my best friend. These things we pray in Christ's name. And together, God's people said amen. And amen. Well, grace and peace to each and every one of you, Foundry. It is an honor, a gift, a joy, a privilege to be in your midst this morning in worship. I am indeed grateful for the very warm hospitality and invitation that I have received being among you, and I am certainly grateful for my colleagues in ministry, especially your beloved senior pastor, the Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli, for her warm invitation this morning. Can we just thank God for your pastors this morning? Foundry, you are blessed. And while all of the 600 plus churches in our conference have an appointment, not every church has a pastor. And that makes a difference. And you have an awesome pastor in your pastor here. She said she's been watching me, and I mentioned it this morning. I've been watching her just as long. And I am ever so grateful for her wisdom, for her prophetic witness, for her embrace, and for the love that she extends that we know is real. And so I am so grateful that God saw fit to bless my life with a Ginger Gaines Sorelli. And so bless you and thank you again. I greet you this beautiful day from your brothers and sisters about 30 minutes away from here in Prince George's County at Bells United Methodist Church and United Methodist Church of the Redeemer, where for the past 379 days I have had the honor of walking alongside them as their pastor. What an honor and a gift it is to be among you in this district. Well, I think I got all the particulars out of the way. Let's move to the Word of God. The text has already been shared for us this morning, and I am going to share from the sermonic thought, neighborly love. Neighborly love. A guy, growing up, one of my favorite television shows was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And the reasons I loved that show were just as vast. For one, Mr. Rogers wore some of the best sweaters ever to be knitted. Do I have any sweater fans in the house? Two, Mr. Rogers was always willing to address head on the deep issues that society grappled with at that time. And we know not much has changed since he started grappling with some of those issues. And if you are a fish tank enthusiast, as I am, I'm sure you would believe that Mr. Rogers had a half-decent fish tank. Granted, he overfed those fish a little bit. But my absolute favorite reason why I loved that show was because of the theme song. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Well, beloved, if you have checked your Twitter feed this morning or any news or social media outlet recently, then you know we aren't necessarily living in Mr. Rogers' beautiful day. Statistics say that 2.5 million children went to sleep last night without a place to call home. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Already this year in the great District of Columbia, 85 families have had the knock of a homicide detective at their door to tell them that their loved one was not coming home anymore. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Senior citizens, some of our nation's most vulnerable, but most worthy individuals still have to decide between overpriced groceries and overpriced medication. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Even the church in 2019 find ways to discriminate and accommodate less than Christ-like behavior that comes coupled with a large check in an offering basket. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But this, beloved, this is the world in which we live, the world in which God expects us to confront, yes, and heal with radical, conditionless, reckless love. This, people of God, is our mission field. And yes, while it is very similar to that road between Jerusalem and Jericho, we have been granted the grace and gifts to always and at all times, regardless of the situation, extend neighborly love. In today's text, Jesus employs a method that has become a norm in his practice of ministry. He's teaching a spiritually grounded life principle by using a parable. This particular use of this form of teaching was brought on because Jesus has found himself in a position where he is now being tested. In other words, yet again, somebody's trying Jesus. This time, it's a lawyer The Bible says that this attorney stands up to test him, asking Jesus to share the requirements for entry into God's kingdom. As hospitable as Jesus is, he is certainly no fool. And he throws the question back on the lawyer, saying to him, "You're a lawyer, that means you can read. You have read through the law. How do you interpret it?" Brother attorney provides a correct response, and Jesus makes every attempt to let him out of the conversation. He affirms his correctness when he says, "Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, yes, and your neighbor as yourself." Correct yet again. And Jesus tries to leave it there. But the lawyer just wasn't satisfied yet. He even takes it a step further and has the audacity to ask Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" It's here that Jesus weaves in this parable. Jesus tells a story of when hospitality and ministry run into each other. Unfortunately, what started out as a probably normal road trip for this man, a man whose position and station in life is unknown, a man whose political affiliation is unknown, a man whose race is unknown, a man whose social connections and musings are unknown. In fact, we don't even know what this brother's name is. But we do know that this wasn't a good road trip. Somewhere along the 15.9-mile journey down to Jericho from Jerusalem, which actually sits above Jerusalem on a map, a life-threatening situation pops up. A storm, you may call it. Have you ever had to brace a storm that comes out of nowhere? This man, again, whom we don't know much about, somehow ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the wrong things happen to him. He's beaten, stripped of his clothes, and dare I say his dignity. And as if that is not enough, he is left on the side of the road to die all by himself. Well, luckily, it must be peak travel time because the Bible tells us that another sojourner comes along the road, but not just anybody. A preacher, a priest, one whom has had the out-of-this-earth experience of hearing his name called by God with the specific task to care for God's creation, comes walking by. Great. One would think certainly this devout, learned public figure would be able to assist this man who's in need and within death's grips. But the Bible says that the preacher, the man of God, does not just ignore this man. He has the sanctified audacity to cross the street. Not even getting close enough to the pain and affliction of this brother for his own heart to be pricked long enough for him to care. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A little later, another brother passes by, this one just as socially honored as the last, as this brother is a Levite, one whose life has been dedicated to assisting those who serve God's people. Well, Reverend Rachel, he must have been late for ministry staff meeting because he didn't stop either. He, too, allows this man's needs, This brother who is at the point of death, this brother who probably is unable to articulate his own needs, lay there and continue to slowly die. Not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A third man comes hopping down the street. This man, a Samaritan, and Foundry, because you are good United Methodist and good Bible reading folk, you know that Jews and Samaritans did not get along. But this man, this Samaritan, this underdog, if you would, cannot allow what his eyes see and what his heart feels to go unaddressed. Now, we don't know if these brothers know each other or not, and it really doesn't matter. The Samaritan stops to help. In fact, he becomes his own patient first on site and provides medical care and treatment for this brother. Loads him up and takes him to a local hotel where he might appropriately and in a safe environment heal from what he has just gone through. He even pays the bill, telling the innkeeper that if there's any more charges, I've got it. Jesus then pauses to ask the attorney, so who's the neighbor in this story? For which the lawyer responds, the man that helped. Again, Jesus affirms his correctness and tells him, now you go and do the same thing. Fred Rogers said, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? The reality, people of God, there's a neighbor inside of each and every one of us. A willingness and a yearning, a passion, almost a life mission to help the least, the lost, the left, and the left out. Jesus, the perfect role model for exhibiting neighborly love, shows us not just through his teaching, but through how he walked, how to love other folk, even folk that don't look like us, that don't think like us, that don't love like us, that don't vote like us, that don't live near us, even those that don't understand, and might I say those that do not like us. Yes. Being a Christ-like neighbor means there are no conditions to your love. And beloved, when you are exercising neighborly love, the first thing you'll do is you'll stop long enough to see the needs of those around you. The text says that the preacher comes. He must have been late for service because he doesn't even stop to help. He keeps on going. The Levite must have been behind in his duties because he doesn't even stop. He keeps on going. But the Samaritan, the very ones that the devout, church-going, Bible-toting, good clothes-wearing folk did not like, pauses long enough to see and meet a need. The late Bishop Martin McLeod would say it this way, sometimes you've got to stop and take a holy pause. People of God, don't move so fast that you miss the voiceless cries of those that need your help the most. I get it that we live in a world that is always moving, is always going, is always changing, but at the same time, there are always those that are stuck in their ruts, stuck in their conditions, stuck in their situations that just need a little help. Amen. And if you but simply stop long enough. You never know, it might be the help that saves their life. So neighborly love will stop long enough to see the needs of those around them, but it will also use what God has blessed you with to bless other people. We so often think that God blesses us for us to keep it, when the reality is we are blessed to be a blessing. You aren't the only one who ought to be able to testify, my cup runs over. But the reality is, your neighbor's cup should also run over. The person on the other side of the political spectrum from you, their cup should also run over. Little children, like precious Michaela, who a year ago this time, right in this district, was shot going to the ice cream truck. Her cup should have been running over. What do you have that can serve as a blessing to somebody else? What can you give? Can you provide? Can you do to help extend someone else's life, someone else's journey, someone else's belief that God still loves me? Even when those that should do right and know better than to continue to practice wrong, when they fail to do what is right, you do what is right. You embrace the words of John Wesley where he says, do all the good you can in all the places you can by all the means you can. And when you do that, Foundry, when you are that Samaritan, when you stop on the road not worried about what might happen to you in the midst of it, then you'll be able to do like Fred Rogers did at the end of every episode and sing to the one that you've helped along the way. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up, ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. What should make you feel good is knowing you have helped someone who could not help themselves. Foundry, you might not be on your way to Jericho, but the reality is you don't have to go far from the doors of this edifice to find those that have been caught on dangerous roads, those that simply need a little help, that need a little reminder that God is able. In a day and a time where we feel like it's better to arm teachers with guns instead of new curriculum, you need to help a neighbor. In a day, in a time when my brothers and sisters in the trans community are being killed left and right, you need to help your neighbor. In a day and time when female pastors are being sexually assaulted in the church house, you need to be a neighbor. My question, Foundry, is this. Which of the three are you? Are you the preacher that's so worried about the collar that you wear that you cross the street? Are you the Levite that's so caught up by your duties that you keep going? Or are you the Samaritan, the one that's often misunderstood, the one whose opinions of you are not valid, that's willing to stop and help someone else. And Foundry, when you've done the best of your service, trying to tell a dying world the Savior has come, be not dismayed when they don't believe you. He'll understand and say, well done. Pray with me. God, you are absolutely amazing. In fact, we sit in awe of you. Wow. From the rising of the sun this morning to the breath that we took 5 minutes ago, wow. For safe passage to this place, wow. Even for dressing our wounds when we were that man on the side of the road, wow. Now, God, enable us, embolden us. In fact, God, light a Holy Ghost fire under our feet to go out and to be the Samaritan, to extend your love everywhere we go, knowing that when we do so, what we're really doing is giving other people a little piece of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.